zebrafish man's genes. In the January edition of the National Geographic, on the item called Medicine, genetic research goes swimmingly. The newest kind of laboratory rat is a fish. Scientists found in a recent study that the common zebra fish has the same genes that are identical to man's. The fish is now a major experimental model in human genetic work, according to researcher Michael Kablagasha above and A.J. Kovigin of the National Institute of Health, where the world's largest zebrafish laboratory is being planned. Zebrafish multiply in just weeks, are easy to keep, and their growth as transparent embryos allows observation from the first moment of fertilization. Hello. Interesting, huh? From the first moment of fertilization.
What is from the first moment of fertilization?
Okay. When zebrafish are little tiny babies, in fact, when they're eggs in their mummy, you can see them inside their mummy because their mummy is transparent. And when they are born, that is when they pop out, you can see them developing as zebrafish inside of their transparent eggs. Very interesting. So that way the geneticists are able to study the genetics within the baby zebrafish as it's very tiny and see how it develops. And the development of the zebrafish, even though the shape is different, is exactly the same as in humanity. Rather a strange idea, but so be it. This is what is strange. Now, you say a fish? I mean, a fish is a long ways away from man. You would think that perhaps an ape might be closer, that its genetic work would be closer to man's, and it's not. The most exactly, nearly, not nearly, exactly the same genetic coding is in the zebrafish as in human beings. Now, you know, they've got to do some pretty wonderful things. They've got to look with the tiniest of tiniest of tiniest of microscopes to look down and see the zebrafish are not probably more than an inch long, you know. And they develop within a short period of time. And so you can study the whole genetic cycle of the fish in just a matter of a month or two. And that's rather good. With man, you have to take a lifetime. But what they're going to find out now is why the zebrafish is so healthy. Why the zebrafish does not have illnesses that man has. Why the zebrafish can be a zebrafish and live in the water. And how that can possibly be. These are all interesting things they're going to find out. And then they're going to find out that it's all thought. You know? And of course, we could tell them that right now. But we don't want to disturb their grants that they're getting from the federal government to work on this. It's quite interesting. In fact, in the National Geographic, they had an article on grants from the federal government for eleemosynary organizations, organizations that are benefiting people and helping people to have wonderful going on to school or going here and there and anywhere. It's quite a program. So these are things that are in the offing, and we don't realize it. We're so used to thinking that we know everything. And things have to be logical. Certainly a monkey is closer to man than a zebrafish. And certainly a gibbon would be closer and an ape would be closer and anything that looks like a man. And it's quite interesting. And then as they went on to tell the stories about dogs and how they developed over the years, they pointed out that one of the things that caused the greatest problems in dogs was inbreeding. They bred them to their brothers and sisters and so forth and had them be more perfect in scope and outlook. And it showed these beautiful dogs standing there, big mastiffs and so forth, and how they had heart problems. had so many heart problems, and how the bulldog with its flat face, it described its flat face and said that when it was born, it had this flat face. And then the head grew around it, and it grew out from it. The face remained flat. And these are genetic traits that they want, because they want the flat-faced bulldog. I can't imagine why people want a bulldog with a flat face. But then another one that has a big, long snout, a dog, because its snout grows while it's in the womb, and it grows very greatly, and it serves its purpose of doing many things. And then they showed the animals on top of one another. This great big mastiff sitting there, and the Pomeranian underneath him, you know, and he's perfectly happy with that. But how people do things with their pets, and how one woman has her pet in her New York City apartment on its little pillow underneath her coffee table, and everything is very rich and ornate, and she says, "The reason I have my dog is because he needs me." And this is very charming, because this is what we do about a lot of things. We do this because we need to know about genetic codes. We need to know about how the body is formed and how the body is developed. We need to know about our lymphatic system. We'll be hearing about that tomorrow morning. But we need to know how it functions and how we can benefit ourselves by treating it and having it function perfectly. But all these things are just exciting for anyone who is excited about things that are exciting. But actually, if we could just be excited about our thought, we could be amazed by what we would produce. Now, let me ask you a silly, silly question, and perhaps you can come up with a sillier answer. Why is the genetic code of the zebrafish like mankind's?
Because they think it's so.
Because they thought it was going to be that way when they started studying it, and so it was.
Yeah.
It fulfilled their purpose in studying it. And that is really exciting. They fulfilled their purpose in studying it. And this had always turned on the phone, Ellen. They had a good time in doing that. Now, Madame Curie found radium when she left some of her things on her shop table in her laboratory and went home overnight. When she came back in the morning, an interesting glow was coming out of this material. She said, "What is this?" You know. And scientists say that most things are created or invented by mistake. And I don't believe that. I think most things are invented and created by our thought, and we put the right ingredients in motion, and then we set it aside, and we don't think anything more about it, because we just let it go. And then, boop, up comes the radium. Boop, up comes M equals, what is it?
E equals MC squared,
right. What is E?
Energy.
What is M?
Mass, matter.
And what is C?
Speed of light.
Squared.
Square.
Now that...
Times itself.
That's a lot of speed. Now, what is all that? Doesn't mean a thing. But it means something to Einstein when he came up with it. And everybody's having a big time about it. The federal government is putting out lots of money so that they can research it and study it and prove it wrong or prove it right. And what's going to be happening? What are they going to find? They're going to find that it has the genes of the humanity in it, you know. Really. And like Einstein, we said, the rhythm of the earth is vibratory, you know, and it's flowing, and the shortest distance between two points is a circle, you know, is a curved line. And Einstein doesn't know it. The shortest distance between this point and this point is a curved line. There doesn't seem to be a curved line there, but it is. However finite it may be, it's a curved line. And we try to fight those things because our logic says, but it's a straight line. This is a flat, straight sheet of paper, but it really isn't. And we think that. We think that only because of the dimensions in which we're accustomed to live and the dimensions in which we're accustomed to think and work. And this is what limits us. We have to be an unbounded person like Einstein, who just thrills in going off into these other dimensions. You know, the story has not been told and may never be told, but the story is that Einstein did not spend much time at home. And you may think I meant his home in Connecticut where he lived, but I mean in his home in his head. He was always not wool gathering, but he was out gathering ideas and gathering dreams and coming back with these dreams. It's called a think tank, you know, where you go out of your body awareness and move on into the dimensions that are far exceeding that. And that's fun. That's fun. We should really have a think tank here. I call it meditation, but perhaps think tank would be more exciting. Meditation doesn't seem to be too exciting for you. But a think tank might be very exciting. And maybe one of those things that you and Irene were laying in, those salt tanks, that deep deprivation tanks, where it deprives you of the feeling of light, of sound, of anything. In fact, as Stefan said and Irene both said, you forget that you have a body. You're just in your mind only. And even in your mind, you don't know where you are because you're not attached to anything, which is a rather remarkable thing. I would say if a person had an illness or a hurt anyplace and got in a deprivation tank, he'd forget about the illness. And then the healing could happen very quickly. The healing does not happen because we keep concentrating on the problem. We keep concentrating on what it is that we're trying to heal. And if we could turn our attention away from that, miracles would happen. No. What are we going to do about these zebrafish? Are we going to buy some zebrafish and have them here and study them and learn how man's genes work? Or are we going to just follow the National Geographic articles on it? You know, it was in the Reader's Digest article, that the first article I read about the lymphatic movement within man's body, how it controlled his experiences. As I say, we'll be talking about that tomorrow. But interesting, isn't it? Interesting. Oh, you'll have a lot of fun with these things, because I have a lot of fun with these things. And as you move along, you'll go ahead with what you're talking. Well, just a minute. And so it is.